In fact, I mean, the very scorpions this fellow worked for. I think these guys at some point won the ANC the elections. When people see law enforcement, they believe the government is working. I think that's how it works in life, right? So, you know, if you are an ANC voter, you must wish for drastic steps so that the ANC can be saved. Because now, pelile ANC.
We do have South Africans, both inside the system and outside the system, who can make this thing work. And what is important in that, it goes back to what I said in terms of accountability, independent accountability. People need to have information and people need to take part in the structures that hold government accountable. What I see coming out of parliament, there are glimpses of seeing people being independent, of seeing people doing their job as members of parliament and being accountable to society. At the Madlanga Commission, you can see everything is out there. And as I said earlier, this is because a South African who is in the system was able to say, let me go back to the public so that the public can hold both the executive and the South African Police Service accountable for the kind of work that we do.
Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rems Mabote. I just realized I did not say an award-winning podcast, but you know it's award-winning, right? You know it's award-winning. Yeah. Well, you know, this business of ours, people who are called content producers, is a difficult business. There are moments when we are hoping for something, when we're scrolling through things, we're listening to everything. I mean, you know, there are days when there are three commissions of inquiry or something like that happening in television, and you're hoping, I'm going to catch something, I'm going to do, and nothing is happening. And then, boom, somebody decides to write something that gets published. And you think, voila, now I have content. It gets even better when the author is a friend of 34 years. Like what more could I have asked for, right? So this fellow that most of you have known for many years, some of you were even scared of that he would arrest you at some point of his life when he was actually never an arresting officer of any sorts. He's a communication extraordinaire, a communicator extraordinaire. He's a journalist by training. He's been in our spaces for many, many years. We got to know him better when he was with the National Prosecuting Authority. There was that famous unit called the Scorpion. He's been with the, for the last few years now, he'll tell me, for the last few years now, probably almost 10 years now, with the Competition Commission as the head of communication there. This time not arresting anyone, although making life difficult for a lot of people. Sipongo Ema is with me. Mhlobo Molo.
Good afternoon. Nice words from you. You're too kind, my brother. But of course, I'm so grateful to be on your show, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. It's good to be here.
It's been a long wait for you to come here, and I'm glad you are here. Thank you very much, Mhlobo. Whew, what a piece. I'm going to have to refer to it. Well, you first wrote it on Facebook. That much I know, because everything you write on Facebook, I see. And 100 other thousand people did get to see it. But News24 thought this is worthy of a column. They invited you to write this thing, which they then titled 1994 Reimagined a Nation. Where did it all go wrong and how can it be fixed? Now, you referenced there that you're having a chat with a friend you had not seen for a long time and you guys were handing out about stuff. And then you got to talk about where we are as a country and how we got here. Well, before I even go to where we are, I'm actually going to go to something else completely different, but I'm still referencing what you're writing. Aren't we, and I mean you and people who feel like this, maybe let me not include myself, aren't you and other people creeping too much onto a past too gone?
Rams, thank you very much. Look, when things go wrong, you really need to look at where you come from. And sometimes, of course, when you sit down with a colleague, which you started something that you thought was good for the country, and when you then sit and talk about commissions of inquiry, and in those commissions of inquiry and ad hoc committee hearings, you hear names of people that you know, good people, people that you worked with in trying to ensure that the foundation that was being laid at the time leads up to the expectations. And we then get worried that some of the names and some of the things that are being alleged, one, at the time we never would have thought that those things would happen, but also say, but what is it that we are doing at the time, and what were we trying to build? And remember, this particular colleague I had lunch with, we were together when we were forming a law enforcement instrument, and together we went on to do a number of other assignments, them being in the forefront, but of course being very close as the communication champion at the time and trying to ensure that the nation knew what we were doing, but also to say to the nation, there are things that cannot be done, there are things that should not be done, because the country had made an undertaking when it voted, when it said everybody should have a better life, when it said there's a compact that we are signing, the nation and those who are in charge and those who are choosing to be in charge, and the instruments that we're putting together to vindicate those wishes, to ensure that that wish we were wishing for is going to be supported by the instruments of state, by all the other things that were being built to ensure that South Africa becomes a glorious nation, becomes a successful nation. And therefore, you could see at the time, remember, most of us at the time were staying in the townships, and we had just graduated. This thing was new. But you could see people moving up. You could see the economy getting there. You could see transformation that was being promised taking place. So there is no way where now you have about 55 or so percent unemployment. You have many challenges, but also you have allegations of people looting resources that are meant to do better for the people, for themselves. And then you wonder, that which we were building then, what went wrong? So therefore, there's no running away from that question when you can see that things are collapsing. And you need to say, yes, we can be able to look back, but of course, at the end, you have to say, how do we fix it?
You know, what is funny for me is that that which you speak about from 1994, and I know, you know, we're going to speak about where it turned around, at least from your point of view, right? It gets to be turned around by this very same, and I'm not going to say people at least, but I'm going to say this, the same liberation movement that got us to the watershed moment of 1994. So it's not even turned around by some strangers or some new, you know, people who came in and stole the election and they became rogue.
Look, the challenge is that I think you will see it everywhere, whether it's in the church choir, in the choir, whether it's in a social club, that no two people are the same. And sometimes we have these ideals that we put down, and some of the things that we also do, and remember, and I think later, as we said, we'll talk about this, it doesn't mean that these things started at that time. But it also meant that they were beginning to creep up, and therefore this is why some of these new instruments were introduced to nip these things in the bud. So you would have elements within a collective of people who do not necessarily share some of these ideals, or who do not understand what is it that everybody else is trying to build. So you have some of the values that are collectively shared, but you would have rogue people within those who do not share those values, who do not necessarily believe in some of the things that have to be done, but also who are selfish. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have and that we have seen now is selfishness. And therefore, unfortunately, you will see that throughout the continent and elsewhere, that in as much as people would come together and draw up these ideals and come up with these issues of social compact, issues of social justice, gender equality, access to public information, empowering the general public. But there are people who would live outside those. Remember, at the time, the country had just conquered. The very same people who were selfish, who only thought people of their color were entitled and had rights to certain things. And once you then begin to say, now those people are out of the way, but you are beginning, it dawns on you that in as much as you were a collective, you were this unit of black people or progressive people who wanted this agenda. Not all of you believe in the ideals that you all thought you believed in.
And I know you know this part of me, so you're not going to be shocked by the cynicism. Could it be that it's not that the issue is greed? I tend to think that all politicians, including those of 1994, were greedy. These ones got caught. These ones who got us here got caught in the greed. So we got to see it.
Undoubtedly. You know, I always tell people that I have worked in the law enforcement space. And one thing that I have realized, virtually each country in the world has got an anti-corruption unit. It's got law enforcement, but there's specialization. And in fact, even countries where we think that those things shouldn't take place because they believe in a particular political philosophy like China, people are being hanged there for these kinds of issues. So it's in mankind. I wouldn't necessarily say only politicians, even because even if you look at some of the issues that engulf us right now, you take Tembisa Hospital as an example, you will find that the bulk of the people who are mentioned in this are either officials, employed officials in state agencies, business people, big and small, that are in there. So those are the majority. So it means that this thing is not necessarily isolated to politicians. But of course, political systems, they create conducive conditions, but also leadership with regards to politics does also in some way encourage a particular culture or discourage a particular culture. So indeed, these things, they start rotting from the top. And we have seen this fish, which is South Africa, also starting rotting from the top. And then it became widespread. And I think there are various reasons why that happened. But I agree with you. To a large extent, it is because of the political system. But the beneficiaries, most of the time, is business people. And they are the people with the resources. And they are the people who are also able to contaminate the system, to cut corners. And this is why, at the end of the day, you find people in the system, they are corruptible. That includes officials and politicians. But also, by and large, you have business people as well, who have the resources, deep pockets, to soil and to manipulate the system, and in the process corrupt those who are involved in that process.
And to think abanye babo are not even business people, they're just called that. Like, you know, they just surface from nowhere, and the next thing you know, they bump into the president as he's walking down the street, but let's not go there. You know, yeah, I mean, we don't know about some of these business people. Now, you say in your piece, then came the watershed Polokwane Conference of 2007, which we thought did more than redraw party loyalties. What are you talking about there?
You know, of course, we have now been accustomed to the fact that particularly the ruling party, when they go to conferences, we hear less about the actual resolutions and what is going to be the program of action in terms of how do you empower people, how do you transform people's lives, how do you give effect to those promises that you made in terms of your constitution, in terms of the various charters that you would have drawn before them. But I think what was striking with this one was the fact that it went beyond that. Of course, the issue was about leadership. And the only thing most people talk about when they talk about that conference was the contest between the two factions of the ruling party. But what came out, I think one of the most important resolutions that that conference went out to implement immediately was the disbandment of the new, relatively new corruption fighting unit, which it was called the Scorpions, the DSO. That's the official name of the Scorpions. So DSO was there to ensure that they fight high impact crime, they fight organized crime, they also fight crimes against the state. And the very first thing that happened, that conference decided that it was going to close down that unit. So they had problems with it. I'm not saying it was perfect, but they decided they were going to throw away the baby with the bathwater. So the problem with that is that then there was a culture of people from that conference of saying that we now going to ensure that we are going to do that which we want to do. So there was this new culture, given the fact that the unit that made people scared. I heard you the other day talking to Songhezo about what that unit was supposed or could achieve at the time. But remember now, when you get rid of that unit, now the emphasis at the time was on the public protector, a great institution, but also was on the SIU, also a remarkable outfit that is there to fight crime. But if you notice both of them, their outcome does not send people to jail. So we are creating conducive conditions for people not to be too scared, because they know that in the final analysis, there's going to be remedies, there's going to be recommendations, and most of the time, the recommendations of those units will be taken to politicians, and politicians therefore will do nothing about. So you had this number of cases of people who had these adverse findings by those units. Either their things were attached, their properties were attached, or there were decisions that and recommendations that so-and-so has done wrong, and therefore you needed to take these remedial actions. But those things were not taken. So what do you do? Or those actions were not taken. So what does that mean? It means to those who are watching their peers getting rich, taking shortcuts, getting involved in corruption, and nothing happening to them. And you even now had people who ordinarily were law-abiding citizens began to look around and said, but so-and-so is doing it and nothing is happening. Okay, let me do this once. Let me do this small thing. But also I have got obligations. I've got family. They are looking up to me. I work with the REMS. REMS is getting super rich. Why am I a fool? So people began to take chances. So now you began to have this pervasive culture of corruption, which was supported by the system, because the system was not responsive in terms of justice, in terms of ensuring that those who were breaking the law, they were responsible. And the sad thing is that if you look at the work of the National Prosecuting Authority and the Scorpions, the bulk of the work that was happening there, 98% had nothing to do with politicians. But because politicians, of course, their names are sexy, they make headlines, those are the ones that began to have impact in terms of the work of that organization. So
You put them in the headlines.
Excuse me?
You put them in the headlines.
Undoubtedly, but if you look, it was not only them that went into the headlines. There were many other cases that we did that were also in the headlines. Cases of people that were not known. Of course, SABs would choose in terms of those cases, because those names, those political names, were in the news for other things, but also in terms of whistleblowing. Many of those cases would have emanated from the media. Undoubtedly, so those cases then got prominence in terms of the media. But then, unfortunately, that became a serious problem, which led to the onslaught against that. But it was not only the National Prosecuting Authority. With time, we saw the onslaught was on the public protector. With time, we saw the onslaught was on the SIU. With all the other instruments that were built to ensure that at least that which we promised in the past, we have these instruments to ensure that those things take place. There was a concerted effort to destroy those institutions so that at the end of the day, nobody is held accountable. So this is how then you build this culture that then permeates to even people in the periphery of political power, people who ordinarily were doing their work. They then begin to take chances because they can see nothing is going to happen today. And you know, now we have commissions. We have had commissions before. We have had investigations before of a number of people who ordinarily were good South Africans when we first met them. But as things came out, you could see how they were sucked into this system and how their names were soiled, how their reputations were left in tatters. And some of them, even now, are still facing cases in court. Unfortunately, that conference brought that culture. That conference brought a culture that was indifferent to law-breaking, a culture that was indifferent to corruption. And unfortunately, we are now reaping the fruits of that particular culture.
So I'm going to veer off from the column. And I'll come back to it a bit later because I don't want to bore people going step by step on the column. We're going to talk about other stuff. Where, therefore, do you think we are as a country as we speak? And I'm going to tell you my view and you can tell me yours. I think we are in the toilet already. We are already in the bowl. We are just waiting for somebody to flush us away. Where I stand, you know, I believe that a lot of us live a lie. You know, we go to lunches, we have our wine, I play my golf, you do what you like with your daughter and stuff like that. But I think we actually are living a lie. I think the reality is much grimmer than what we paint out there. And I truly believe kupelile. The lights are about to go off.
Look, I think we have a crisis. I think there is a mess out there. But I think the mess can still be salvaged. I don't think that the glass is half empty. I think it's half full. In fact, what we have seen over the past few years, we have seen the emergence of many South Africans who typically are not your typical politician. When you look at them, you can look around and you would see that, unfortunately, they have to join political parties in order to make a difference. And even when you look at the commission now, remember, it's a South African that held a press conference that said here and no further, and appealed to a majority of South Africans to say this thing is going down if we are not going to take action. And I think we still have some instruments that, of course, they are damaged, but they are not finished. If you look at the judicial system, for example, the allegation that some members of the system may be corrupt, and I'm sure that if they are, those will be able to be hounded out. Of course, you know that judges have been impeached. Of course, you know that there are a number of people who initially we thought had integrity, and those people have fallen by the wayside. So I think we still have an opportunity to make these instruments much more strong and robust. We still have to ensure that we don't lose the transparency that we have in the system. We don't lose the integrity that we have in the criminal justice system, because by and large, we still have very good men and women in there that can still salvage this thing. And I think these commissions are saying to us, here is an opportunity. Fortunately, we have been able to have elections at constant intervals. We have been able to have institutions that are able to ensure that those things take place. Yes, there is crime. Yes, there are unacceptable levels of crime. But we have seen a law enforcement making breakthroughs. We have seen young men and women, they are testifying now in terms of what they know. So I don't think that all is lost.
They're testifying and dying. Like, you know, they're now hiding, like, you know.
Of course, in terms of your whistleblowing, we have a witness protection unit. We have, it's not perfect, but I think it can still, there's a room for improvement. And I think we do have those kinds of instruments. The foundation is there. And I think the guys who built this foundation from liberation struggle into the transitional period, they made sure that it's not going to be easy to break that which they had fought for from all political parties. Everyone who was involved in trying to create what we have now. I'm telling you, if we didn't have what we have now, the collapse would have been much, much, much earlier and we have been much, much fatal. However, we may be, but I don't think that we are in high care. But I really don't think that we are that critical that we are about to die. But I think we can be salvaged, and I think there are very, very many men and women in this country who love this country, who are committed to this country, that can salvage the country. And I think there are solutions that we can put into place, there are instruments that can assist in that to ensure that we go back that which we dreamt of right at the beginning.
And we're going to end with those solutions which you suggest in your piece. But let me try and understand you. So you're not necessarily saying we are in the bathroom, but not necessarily in the toilet, like I think.
Look, we are not about to be flushed. Yeah. What we see is not good, but what we see can be salvaged. And I think it's all of us. Remember, there are skills across all South African races, across all South African people in different pockets and in different corners. They have solutions and we can do this. In fact, when you look around and you still compare us with our peers, and I'm not saying that that's the benchmark, but we're still much better. And I think it's not too late. We can still salvage this thing.
You know, one of the things that we have done post-liberation, about which I'm proud, is that we have refused for the West to determine who our friends are. And we have remained good friends with the East, whether it's China or Russia, right? Sometimes I wish, more than just trading with China, is if we outsource the country to them for 5 years, and they, you know, they brought on, those guys kill people that we see around, the people who write affidavits from bloody prisons and stuff like that. In China, those guys would be gone. You know, I think we need drastic solutions, Mansiro.
Look, I don't believe that, because sometimes we don't have to kill, but I think that we need strong institutions. We need people of integrity. I think we need to ensure that ethics and integrity are on top of our agenda, and including the people that we elect. This thing about thinking about thinking that politics is about pirates and Kaiser Chiefs, should be a thing of the past. We should be looking at track record. We should be looking at track record of each individual that comes to us and say, I promise to do A, B, C, and D. I think we need to look at our system and how it brings up people and how are we able to select those people. One of the things I'm sure I say in the article is that the people we elect began not to be accountable to us. They began to be accountable to political parties, and which is the biggest problem, because political parties, you would know, Mkhwebam, it's all about closing ranks. They're like gangsters because they don't want the opposition to get away of attacking them. It's not about ethics. It's not about principles. It's about protecting each other. And this is how we have we got to where we are. So I still believe that if we have a system that allows us to choose individuals on the basis of what they have done, on the basis of their track record, on the basis of what they stand for, and also on the ability of us to be able to hold those people accountable. I think I know you said you are still going to talk about what needs to be done, but I think we have a greater responsibility to take charge, to have the information that we need, to process that information, so that we don't take decisions on the basis of emotions, but on the basis of the information that we have processed, and to be able to say, I take this decision, not for myself, not for my party, but for my country. I think our country should come first now, and everything that we do should be about South Africa, not be about ourselves, nor be about our political parties.
As you're growing old, I'm telling you, you're so mild now. You've become so, oh no, I can't believe, like, you're not as angry as I thought you would be. I mean, I remember that student activist, I mean, of old. Now, oh, bingo, we're happy. Because you sounded like these guys who are looting us, like now we should be patient.
You know, having worked in the system, I think it's almost 25 years now or more that I've been in the system, and I've seen very good people in that system, but I've also seen very good people in the system who have been corrupted by the system. And that experience makes me believe that not all is lost, not everyone is bad, but I think if we can fix the system, we can be able to produce. Remember, if the system is corrupt, the product of the system is going to be poisoned. And that's why I haven't lost hope. I really do believe that there are many good South Africans. And in fact, they're not in the headlines. They're in the various corners. And this is why you find that our country hasn't collapsed, even though you hear the amounts of money that are being squandered. So Mhlobam, yes, I understand. I understand there was a time everything was about energy, everything was about emotion. But I think now we need to process these things. And this is the danger also of experience, because experience makes you think hard about things. Experience makes you look at things and be sensible, not to be emotional, not to be biased, but also to say, why was I involved in this thing? I was involved in this thing to make this one of the most glorious countries in the continent, if not in the world. And therefore, where I think there are pockets of excellence, let's celebrate those, but also let's build on them. Let's make sure that we chuck out that which is rotten. And it's not a lot. It's just that it has got high impact. And I think when you have the majority of South Africans who can be able to say, let's get hold of this thing, let's take charge and get rid of these things, because this is our children's future. So that's where my hope comes from. It's being on the ground with people and seeing on a daily basis South Africans that are still committed to the cause, however, who are scared because they can see that the system can deal with you. Issues of economic intimidation are alive and well. You know that as a businessman, that there are certain businesses that we have forgotten about because of what you stand for. And those are the things that we need to confront, and those are the things that we need to deal with. You still have people internally who do not pay people's invoices because they want a cut, because the system that they work in has encouraged, and they see around that others do it, and therefore they do it, and nothing has happened to them. But there's a majority of people around there who do not do those things. And this is why you have a number of companies who are still benefiting, who are still alive out there, even though they are struggling. So you take those pockets, you build on them, and you rebuild that which you wanted to achieve right from the beginning, as I said.
Okay, we're going to conclude with your proposed solutions, but I want to put it on the record. Let's give this country to China. Okay, maybe not for 5 years, maybe for 2 years. And I promise you guys, you will see amazing things. In fact, I mean, the very Scorpions this fellow worked for, I think these guys at some point won the ANC the elections. When people see law enforcement, they believe the government is working. I think that's how it works in life, right? So, you know, if you are an ANC voter, you must wish for drastic steps so that the ANC can be saved. Because now, pelileng ANC. But let me not digress. Let's go to your proposed solutions. Now, you propose 4 solutions, right? And I wanted to go through them very quickly. You speak about independent accountability must be rebuilt, robust, protected whistleblower channels. We're seeing a lot of them coming up. We, you know, Teboho Kas has got a whistleblower movement out there. But we've also seen, and that's my fear, we've also seen Babita Tekor, and we've seen the guy in Ekuruleni. We're hearing about other people who are blowing whistles and they had to hide.
Let me start with China. I think China is doing very well for Chinese people. And you must remember, at the end of the day, their interests are about China. I always say that the primary interest of any government must be their people. So what China is doing for its people. But I think you also mentioned that we as South Africans are capable. The example that you're making, that probably the success of those units at the time did give confidence to South Africans. It means that there are these pockets that I'm talking about. But what you need to do, you need to invest in their development. You need to invest in their training. And why those units were good, it's because they sent their people to those countries. They sent their people to law enforcement agencies and others. I mean, even DTI sent people throughout the world to go and learn. And those people came back and they led very successful units. So I'm saying that you still have those South Africans which can be affirmed, which can be trained so that they come back and make sure that the solutions that we are developing and the things that we are doing it for our country. And we are not beholden to other countries, because those countries, it's about their own countries, and therefore we cannot be colonialized again. But we do have South Africans, both inside the system and outside the system, who can make this thing work. And what is important in that, it goes back to what I said in terms of accountability, independent accountability. People need to have information and people need to take part in the structures that hold government accountable. What I see coming out of Parliament, there are glimpses of seeing people being independent, of seeing people doing their job as members of Parliament and being accountable to society. At the Madlanga Commission, you can see everything is out there. And as I said earlier, this is because a South African who is in the system was able to say, let me go back to the public so that the public can hold both the executive and the South African Police Service accountable for the kind of work that we do. So if we have that all over, if we have citizens standing up and ensuring, because at the end of the day, every 5 years, these people go back to the citizens to get the mandate. And secondly, what we need to do is to say there must be a compact, a social compact between public servants and the nation. We should be able to call unions to say, guys, we have a serious problem with corruption in law enforcement, in public service. Is it possible that we have at constant intervals ethical tests? We have lie detector tests so that we can be able. We know that that's a gray area in terms of the law, but in terms of the social compact that we need, can we agree that we need this as a short-term shock so that we deal with this? Is it possible to have lifestyle audits so that if what we have and what we have accumulated is not aligned to what we're earning, we should be able to be made accountable? And the unions and the system must be able to open a way so that if it's a legal gray area, that can be able to be arrested and people can be able to be accountable. So we need that. But we also need to make sure that we have got ethical leadership. Because if we have people who do not live these values, if we have got people who do not, we are not champions of what we want to achieve. As I said earlier, this fish started rotting from the top. And unfortunately, monkey see, monkey do. So if we are not going to be able to have people who are going to be model ethical leaders, who can be able to say the values that we subscribed on right in the beginning still live in us, that is going to be a problem. And therefore, leaders that are ethical, leaders that are committed to South Africa should emerge now. And we as the public should be able to find those leaders both inside and outside the system to say, this is our country. It belongs to all of us. Can we ensure that we put the right people in charge who are going to ensure that that which we had said in the beginning, we give effect to it. We rebuild those structures. We have upright men and women who are going to be able to take charge. So I think we're still salvageable, and I still believe that the majority of South Africans believe in this country, and they can still do that which we dreamt of right at the beginning.
And you still believe in a vigilant press?
Undoubtedly, many of the stories, many of the things that came out now, including the commissions that we have, the first thing that General Mkhwanazi did, he called a press conference, because as a conduit between citizens, between whistleblowers and the nation, the press plays a critical role. And I must emphasize that it's not beyond reproach. Some elements in the press, of course, need to be looked at, but by and large, the press has done phenomenal work in this country. The judiciary has done great work, and a number of other instruments. So press is key. Of course, it's not beyond and above the law, but they are key, and we need to protect them, and we need to make sure that they report, and we need to make sure that we do not interfere in terms of the work that they must do. So that instrument is very key, and it is that instrument, amongst others, that has carried us so far to be where we are, because they have exposed the rot, they continue to expose the rot. And going back to whistleblowers, we have witness protection. We need to tighten law enforcement, because if you get rid of the rotten apples through the test that I said earlier, the lie detector tests, the lifestyle audits, we get rid of those things. Also, we introduce a new corruption fighting unit. You get these guys from universities. It takes time to build experience. So you keep a little bit of what you have now. You go and recruit a mass. You put aside resources to ensure that those ones are isolated, the new ones. They are not contaminated by the ones that are corrupt. But you slowly integrate them into the process, because also you don't want to lose experience. But the experience that you have must be the best in the game, must be the ones that are not contaminated. So you get rid of the rotten apples, you recruit new ones. With the scorpions, I mean, it was amazing how South Africans, particularly lawyers, they closed their law firms. They came. They went to different countries in the world, and they came back to register the kinds of victories that they registered in the end. Unfortunately, they were snatched by the private sector when the scorpions were gone. And today, I'm sure you pen 10 times to get them back. So you need to reinvest in those, send those people to the countries that you mentioned, so that when they come back with different values. They come back with high impact, strong enough to be able to make sure that we are able to win this war. And I think we can turn the tide, undoubtedly.
So you're my guest. I'm not supposed to be having views here, but I'm going to respond in conclusion. So, you know, on the first one, you said, you know, we build the system by sending people out who go to learn from other countries and came back and did very well. Today, I want them at least then send me to China and come back. Even if you just give me the ANC ethics committee, you know, let me just fix this guy. Let me go to China and come back and fix the ethics committee and deal with Nama Comrade who are raw. But, you know, the one you press, man, I get angry. So the other day, you know, of course, we know his grandstanding. Tibo Touch posts something about how pirates were bludgeoned in the DRC, which I think was poor PR, when pirates just lost. But, you know, he goes on and about this. And somewhere there, he mentions that he is a Kaiser Chiefs fan, but he believes in justice, right? What happens? The very next day, I read one of these online publications, and somewhere in the piece referencing him, they say, Tibo Touch, who is a Pirates fan? The man says it with his own mouth that he's a Kaiser Chiefs fan. I have given up on the press. I really have given up. Like, things have gone very bad, guys. Like, even simple things like that. How could I trust them with bigger things when you can't even rephrase, not paraphrase, quote somebody for what they say?
You know, I think all our institutions are in trouble. And this is why you need to retrain. And this is why you need to look back and say, what is it that has gone wrong? And I think the leadership of each institution need to take it upon themselves to say, we need quality control measures. And part of quality control measures is to put the right people. I know that we in PR, we take advantage of those shortcomings. We take advantage of those weaknesses. But I think it is important that we ensure that there's serious quality control. Of course, we fight all the time, because also writers rotate. And I'm sure that person only listened to the introductory part of that. And people are lazy. But also, I think from our side, not necessarily about the example that you made, we need to make it easier for people to understand the kind of work that we do, make it simple for them to be able to report on it accurately. And therefore, as I said, they are not perfect, they are not beyond criticism and scrutiny, but they still play a very important role. And I think their leadership needs to take it upon themselves to ensure that the quality that comes out of it is good. Of course, social media and AI doesn't make things easy, but I think this is now that you don't want to get rid of experience, because you must use that experience to control that which you churn out. Don't rush for headlines. Don't want to be the first on the scoop, but make sure that what you report is accurate and what you report is constructive. And by constructive, I don't mean that you must shove things under the carpet that most of us will not be able to swallow. But I think it is constructive for you to put something that you think is going to destroy the nation, even if a lot of people are not going to be happy with it. And I think most of the time, quite frankly, people are not happy with things that are good for them. They only see it in hindsight. Some of the things that we're talking about now that we all agree, 10, 15 years ago, we didn't agree on. So the same guys who were on the forefront of creating the mess are in the forefront now of saying they can be messiahs of salvaging the mess, or salvaging us in the mess that we find ourselves in.
Well, folks, he used to be better than this. He's grown now. But, you know, I appreciate all my guests. And I hope, though, people get to hear the gist of what you're saying. It's not over. We just need to do a few right things and we can get back onto the trajectory.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Mkhabam. No, it's not a loss. People must just make sure that they take charge. We take charge by being involved. We take charge by following events, by reading, by processing information, but being involved in the relevant structures and ensuring that you put in charge people who are good for South Africa.
Well, thank you very much for watching this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Do not forget to press subscribe. It is just at the bottom of my face to your right, I think. You know, just press that thing once. It doesn't cost you more data nor any money. Just press it. And then in spite of what Sipho said, share it. Tell it. Be the first to tell the world about this thing. You know, there's no controversy and we're not lying to anybody and we have checked our facts. So please share whatever you pick up here. Right? It is very important. It is how these platforms get to grow. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.
Goodbye.